Alrighty, so this morning I'm going to be speaking on the topic of repentance. And if you have your Bibles, just have a look at Matthew chapter 4. You can turn there and I'll just open in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence here in our midst. And Lord, we sung about repentance earlier. As we repent and turn from sin, pour your Spirit out upon us. And we pray for that this morning. We pray, Lord, that there would be a revelation of your word, that we would turn to you in a fresh way, in a new way this morning. And Lord, speak into our lives. We want to be with you. We want to be close to you. We want to walk with you, in agreement with you this morning. And so touch our hearts and speak to us. We make ourselves available for you to speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Wonderful. So if you read through the Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll read about the birth of Jesus. You'll read about his baptism by John. You'll read about him being led into the wilderness to be tempted. And then you will see Jesus begins his public ministry after that. And he begins to preach. And in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, Matthew and Mark actually give us details of what Jesus began to preach about. So Matthew 4 verse 17 says this: "From then on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" And in a similar passage in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. 'The time promised by God has come at last,' he announced. 'The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe in the good news.'" So this is what Jesus preached. This is what he started off his public ministry. Repent of your sins and turn to God, and repent of your sins and believe in the good news. And why repent? Because he said the kingdom of God is near. Therefore, repent. Turn to God. And so this morning, we're just going to have a look at this topic of repentance. And I think it's a word that's often, it's not always well understood by Christians. And in many circles, it has a negative connotation. It's seen as a negative. Repentance, in some cases, people teach Christians don't need to repent because it's seen negatively. And actually, when you look at the Bible and what it says about repentance, repentance is something wonderful because repentance always brings you closer to God. Amen. Every single time. So it has to be a good thing. If we want to be closer to God, repentance is the key. It's a very important concept to understand. So what is repentance? Let's have a look at that first. You might think this morning that repentance is saying sorry to God. And there is an element of that, but it's far more than just coming to God and saying sorry. Repentance is not an emotion. Many people associate repentance with tears, coming to God and just the tears are pouring out and you're repenting. But actually, repentance is a decision of our will. And it can be attached, it can have emotions attached to it, but it doesn't come from our feelings. It doesn't come from our emotions. It comes from our will. It's a choice we make to repent. It's not, responding to God. It's all hype and emotions, and there's tears or there's all this overflowing of emotions, and therefore you repent. In fact, if you find people that have repented or responded to God out of an emotional response, generally it doesn't last. But when there's a decision of our will, it lasts. Because we've made a decision, we're actually not going to go in that direction, we're going to go in this direction. emotions, it's all, oh Lord, I'm sorry at the time. But when the emotions die down, the will still isn't changed. Our will must be touched by the Holy Spirit. I think the best way to understand the word repent is to look at both the Greek and the Hebrew meaning of repent, because they have slightly different angles on the word. The Greek word for repent means to change your mind. It means you make a decision in your mind. Actually, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to do this. The Hebrew word for repent means to turn around or change your path, change your direction. So if you put the two together, you get someone who has changed their mind and done something about it. I think often we change our mind, we make our mind up we're going to do something different, and then we don't. We don't follow through. Repentance is both. It's making a decision of your will and then acting it out and doing it. So can you see how repentance is not an emotion? It's a decision of our will. It's a decision to turn. Turning away from sinning and turning to God. You see, let me leave that bit out. Repentance sometimes is taught like this. It's turning 180 degrees. But I want to add something to that. It could be true. Repentance is turning 180 degrees, but it's not always the case. Let me illustrate for you. Just imagine this lectern is where God is. I'm walking in this direction here, and I decide I'm going to repent. So I turn, and I'm 180 degrees, and I'm walking back. But there's God. Now I decide, oh, I'm still not where God is. I need to repent because now I've stopped doing that thing, but I've started doing this thing. I'm still in the wrong area. So I turn 180 degrees, and I'm still missing God. Repentance is wherever you are, you turn to God, and you walk to Him only. That's biblical repentance, is always going back to God. And God may not be directly behind us, so we may need to turn 100 degrees, or whatever. The degrees aren't important. It's the destination is important. It's going back to God. Repentance is always turning from our sin, but turning to God. Because I can decide to turn my life around. I can decide, well, I'm doing this particular sin, and I know it's wrong, and I know it's bad, and I want to stop doing that. And in my own strength, I turn my life around, and I'm doing something different. But I'm not turning to God. I'm doing it for myself. I want to be a better person. I want to improve myself. I want to turn my life around. Maybe I was stingy, and I decided to be generous. But I gave my money everywhere else. I never gave it to God. Or I'm not following God, because He's actually saying, this is what I want you to do. To do with your money. I'm just turning my life around and being a generous person. That's not repentance. There's a wonderful example of repentance in the Bible, and I'm going to spend quite a bit of time here. It's a parable that you've probably read, the parable of the prodigal son. You may have read it before in the Bible. You'll find it in Luke chapter 15, so if you want to turn there. It's the parable of the prodigal son, but actually there's two sons in this parable that Jesus told, and the response of both sons is important for us. It's important for us to take note of both sons, because we can fall into either category. What happened is, I'll just summarize the beginning of this parable, but to me this is the most vivid visual explanation of repentance that there is in the Bible. This son, the youngest son, asked his father for his inheritance. And he wanted it early. He left home. He went and spent it in wild living. So wild, in fact, that he was involved with prostitutes and all sorts of stuff you'll read later in the parable. He blew the lot, and then a famine came over the land, and he couldn't find work, and he got desperate. And so the only place that he could find work was to feed pigs. And for a Jew, I think that's about as low as you can go, because a pig is an unclean animal. They weren't allowed to eat pork, and to be feeding pigs and dealing with pigs is pretty low on their level of job categories. And so here he is, and we pick up the story. He's so hungry, he actually wants to eat the pig's food. He's in a desperate place. And it says in verse 17 onwards, Luke chapter 15, it says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have enough food to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. And so he returned home to his father. For true repentance to take place in our lives, we have to first come to our senses. We have to have a moment like this person here, who it says, when he finally came to his senses. We need God to actually give us a revelation of where we're really at. We've been walking in this direction, and there comes a time where God convicts us of our sins or opens our eyes so we can see what's really going on. We come to our senses and we realize, I'm actually going in the wrong direction. I need to repent. I need to turn. I need to go back to my father. That's what this son happened. That's what happened to him. He came to his senses and he realized, why am I running away from my father? Why did I do this? Why am I running from my home? And it's the moment when we see ourselves as God sees us. I think this is really important for repentance. We have to have an honest assessment of ourselves where we see what we are doing as God sees it. Not because in our own opinion we might think, well, nothing's wrong. Until we read something in the Bible and suddenly God causes us to come to our senses. I'll give you a great example of that. Just this morning, I was reading in Isaiah chapter 44. I'll just quickly read it to you. One verse, Isaiah 44. And it says this. It says, where is it now? I'm sure it was Isaiah 44. No, maybe not. Somewhere in the Bible, right? I read this morning. It was about you knew the good you were supposed to do and you didn't do it. And immediately God said to me, he convicted me, sin is not just about doing the wrong thing. It's also about not doing the right thing. When you know what you should do and you don't do it, it's sin. It's something to repent of. And it was like a moment this morning where God brought me to my senses. Hey, you know what? It's not just about doing wrong things, but it's also about you know what you should have done and you didn't do it. You know the right you should have done. You see, when God speaks like that, he brings us to our senses. And now I've got to decide, okay, oh, I'm actually walking in this direction. God does not walk in this way. If I want to walk with God, I've got to turn. I've got to get back on God's path where he walks. He doesn't walk the path. What's it?
James 4:17.
Well, no, it wasn't in James, but it might be repeated. And I was in Isaiah somewhere. But that's the thing. It's do we want to walk with God? That's what repentance does. It brings us back to God. We realize, actually, God doesn't walk the path of a thief. If I'm cheating on my tax return, God isn't walking with me. I'm not walking with God. I've got to repent and get back to God. Amen. If I'm gossiping and lying and slandering other people, God doesn't walk like that. We've got to repent and get back to where God is. That's what repentance does. We come to our senses. You see, if this son was a worldly guy, he may have thought, well, I've hit rock bottom. Here I am. I'm in the famine. I'm feeding the pigs. I actually want to eat the pig's food. I've got nothing. I've got to turn my life around. First of all, I've got to get a better job. I've got to get cleaned up. I've got to start managing my money better. I've got to start fixing my relationships with my family that I've wrecked. I've got to buy my own house, etc., etc. That's not repentance. That's turning your life around, yes, but it's not going back to God. See, the worst thing about sin is not that we're doing the wrong thing. It's that we're offending our Heavenly Father. And the thing about repentance is that we have to turn and go back to the Father we've offended. That's repentance. To the God we love. But here's the wonderful thing. Notice the Father's reaction. Verse 20, Luke 15. It says, so he returned home. He made a decision, I'm going to go home. And then he did it. He returned home. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. While he was still a long way off, the father saw him. How do you think that happened? Why is the father the guy to see him, not the worker in the field? Because every day the father is looking to see, is my son going to repent? Is he going to turn back? And every single day God is looking at us, saying, are we going to turn to him? You see, the problem with our lives is that we're very easily distracted. And so we get distracted all the time. It's not just we want to live in sin. It's not just that. It's that we get distracted from being with God. And every day God is looking and he is waiting. As soon as he sees us turn and start coming back to him, he runs to meet us. He doesn't stand there. There's the son. Okay, 5 Ks. He's got to walk here. Let me just let him think about what he did. Took all that money, all that inheritance, and blew it in wild living. Didn't listen to what I had to say. Didn't know that I'm a good father. I'll just wait and see. By the time he gets to me, he'll have learned his lesson. God does not do that. He runs to meet you when you repent. And let me say, if that's the response we get from God, we should always be wanting to repent. We should want to repent. We should want to turn to God, knowing that that's how God is going to respond. And then verse 21, his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to his servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house, put it on him, get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for the son of mine was dead, but is now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. And so the party began. Amen. But have a look at what the son did. A little bit earlier, we read, this is what the son wanted to say. He wanted to say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as your hired servant. And he's going through that, but mid-sentence, the father cuts him off. Before he can say, take me on as one of your servants, the father says, that's it. Get a robe, get a ring, get sandals on this guy. He reinstates him as his son. But the important thing is that the son took responsibility for what he'd done wrong. He didn't come back to his father and say, sorry I haven't been around for so long and sorry I blew the money, but the reason it happened is because of this, 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 this. This is why I left in the first place. This is why I spent all my money. This is why I wanted to experience life. He didn't come with any excuses. He took 100% responsibility for his wrongdoing. He wanted his inheritance early. He wanted his rights. Generally, people who want their rights end up being in the wrong. Think about it. You want your rights? You want to defend your position before God? You want to say, this is the reason I sin? It's because of my spouse? It's because of my job? It's because of my kids? It's because of my upbringing? It's because of my situation in life? If you do that, you're not repenting. If you make excuses, you're not repenting. Repentance is, I've done wrong. I don't deserve your mercy. I don't deserve your grace. I take full responsibility for what I've done. And not only that, it's not just about me doing wrong. It's that I've offended you, Lord. When David sinned, the thing that hit him the most wasn't that he'd killed Bathsheba's husband. He murdered him. It was that he'd sinned against God. That's the thing that hit him the most. And that's when we come to our senses, we see actually sin is something that God hates. He never turns a blind eye to sin. And when we realize, you know what, God, I'm sorry. I'm not coming with excuses. I'm not coming trying to explain why I did what I did. I'm just sorry. I want to be back with you. God works in our life then. That's when repentance brings us closer to God. When we come like the Son. And you know what? Before we can say, look, I want to just be a servant. I don't want to be a son. God stops us. He said, okay, you've taken responsibility. You've repented. Now, bring the robe. Bring the ring. Bring the sandals. Reinstates him as a son. It's wonderful, eh? The son was humble. He admitted that he was in the wrong. The third thing, first thing was that repentance brings us closer to God. We've looked at an example of repentance. The third thing I want to say about repentance is that repentance actually starts with God. It doesn't start with us. Like what I shared, what happened to me this morning, started with God. It didn't start with me trying to think of what can I repent of. It was just God. God just showed me something. You're refusing to do what you know is right. Not wrong. Not you're doing wrong things. You're not doing right things. Everything good starts with God. We're always dependent on the grace of God. If you have a look at Psalm chapter 80, there are three verses there that talk about God turning us to Him. Verse 3, verse 7, and verse 19, Psalm 80. Verse 3 says, turn us again to yourself, O God. Make your face shine down upon us. Only then will we be saved. Verse 7, turn us again to yourself. Verse 19, turn us again to yourself, O Lord of heaven's army. Turn us, turn us, turn us. It's repentance starts with God turning us. It starts with Him saying, you're going in the wrong direction. You need to turn back to me. We cannot repent unless God starts to turn us. In fact, in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 21, I'll read it from the New King James Version. It says, "Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days of old." The language is almost grammatically incorrect. It says, "Turn us back to you so that we can turn back." It's that kind of thing.
Yes.
It's like, well, okay, you know, if you can get what the scripture is saying, God begins the work so that we can turn.
Amen.
We can't turn to God unless He starts to turn you. Now, that's a wonderful thing to say. It's wonderful. Hey, okay. God starts to turn me and now I can repent. Now I can get closer to God. Wonderful. But what if God starts to turn me and I don't respond? I reject God. What if I decide I'll think about it? I'll go home and maybe a Monday I'll turn to God. But He's not turning me then. He's turning me now. He's working in my life now. And repentance is an act of God's grace. It's something that He initiates. It's a gift from God. It's not a work of the flesh that I can just decide when I want to repent or when I don't want to repent. Because there's examples in the Bible of people who didn't repent when God touched them and decided later on, maybe months later, maybe years later, they were going to turn to God, and it says it was too late. Esau is one of those examples. He gave away his God-given birthright because he was so hungry, all he wanted was a bowl of lentil stew. He said, "What good is my birthright to me now?" So he gave it away to his brother. He said, "Yep, you can have it." Something that God gave him, something that was a wonderful gift from God, He totally thought, well, I couldn't care less about what God's done in my life. All I want is my food right here and right now. And I imagine that when he did that, it doesn't say this in Scripture, but there must have been some kind of a conviction that happened in his life. Maybe an hour later, maybe a day later, or whatever. But there's no response from Esau. There's no him going back to Jacob and saying, "Look, I know I said I gave you my birthright, but actually I'm not doing that anymore because it is important to me." There's none of that. Esau was a godless person. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 and 17 says this. Hebrews 12, 16 and 17. It says, "Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. You know that afterward, when he wanted," not when God wanted, "when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears." Wow, it's a wonderful thing that God turns us. But when God is dealing with us, my advice is respond to the Lord. Be humble, be flexible, and let the Lord work in your life. Don't ever walk away and say, "I'll think about it, God. Thank you for touching me. That was a wonderful meeting. You know, God was speaking to me, but I'll go home. I'll have a think, and then I'll let you know in a week's time of whether or not I'm going to do this again." Because God may not turn your heart again. Maybe He's turned it for the 100th time, and that's it. We don't know. Let me start wrapping things up here. One thing, whenever I preach, I'm always wanting to bring us before the throne of God. I'm never wanting just to share information that we can walk away with and just go, "Oh, that was interesting." My goal and my prayer is always to bring us before God's throne so that we can engage with the Lord. He can speak to us. We can respond to Him. If there are people here this morning who you know God is touching your life, you've been walking in the wrong direction, and you realize this morning, actually, I need to repent. You've seen this morning, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to repent. I want to give opportunity now for you to respond to the Lord, for you to turn to Him. Repentance is a humbling thing. And it's something that I do on almost a daily basis. There's a psalm, which I can't remember the verse. I think it's Psalm 50, but I could be wrong. I have to be humble here. But it says, it's David saying he repents of his hidden sins, his willful sins, and his unintentional sins. And I pray that prayer often. I say, God, there's things I know I've willfully done wrong. I've willfully disobeyed you. Like that thing when I knew the good I should have done and I didn't do it, and I could give 100 reasons of why I didn't do it, which in my mind I'm justified, but in God's eyes I'm not. There's willful sins. There's unintentional sins. I repent of that. I say, God, maybe I've sinned unintentionally. And then there's other sins which are hidden sins, which I have hidden. And sometimes we're so good at hiding things, not just from God, from other people, but we end up hiding it from ourselves.
Yeah.
We begin to believe the lie that we didn't sin. We hide it from ourselves. And I pray that prayer often. And the reason is because I want to be close to God. 1 John talks about, if you confess your sins to the Lord and you walk in the light, then you will have fellowship with God. That, for me, is what repentance is all about. Yes, on the day when I was 19 years old, I had a revelation of Jesus and I repented then and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I was saved on that day. But since then, I've repented often. Why? For fellowship with God. Not for salvation. I'm already saved. But I repent because I want to be walking with God. I don't want to walk around here going, okay, praise God, I've got the righteousness of Jesus. I can do whatever I want. I want to walk with God, hand in hand. That's why I'm saved. I'm not saved to escape hell. I'm saved to be in a relationship with the Lord, to walk with Him, to spend my life serving Him and enjoying His company and His fellowship with me. To hear the Father say, I forgive you, is one of the most wonderful phrases that we can ever hear God say. And so I just want to invite you just to respond to the Lord right now. And it's between you and the Lord. You don't need to stand and say, this is what I've done wrong. 1 John, I'll just read it to you. Where was that scripture now? 1 John 1:19. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And maybe there's something this morning that God is putting His finger on in your life. And just between you and the Lord, just bring that before Him and say, Lord, I confess this as a sin. And I'm repenting of it. I'm turning to You this morning. You know, don't give Him the reasons of why you did it. Don't defend yourself before the Lord. But just say, Lord, I'm calling a spade a spade. You see this as something that's wrong, and I'm admitting I've done it. And so I want to turn to You. I want to be with You this morning. Let's just take a minute. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, we come before You this morning, and knowing that You are such a loving Father, but also knowing that we get easily distracted, we wander off. The universal sin that every person has committed, the Bible says, is that each of us have turned to our own way. And we did that before we were saved, and we keep doing it after we're saved. We keep turning to our own way. And Lord, we want to be with you. We want to turn back to you this morning. So Lord, whatever it is that we need to repent of, we repent. And just right now, just say, Lord, in your mind, just, Lord, I repent of this. Thank you, Lord. We make a decision of our will to turn to you, Lord, and to walk in your ways, to walk with you. We know, Lord, that you are a loving Father and that you're a God who reinstates us as your children, puts a robe on us, puts a ring on our finger, kills the fattened calf, and there's a party. You rejoice when people return to you. You absolutely rejoice. I pray right now, Lord, that there would be an outpouring of your love, an understanding of your love this morning. Pray for a revelation of that, that people would feel the Father's embrace as we turn to you. Let there be a comforting embrace in our lives, Lord. Let no one feel condemnation. The devil's the one that brings condemnation. Your word says there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price in full on the cross. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray right now that there be an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh, Lord. It's your Spirit that causes us to cry out, Abba, Father. Now, I pray for that revelation this morning. As we've come back to you, our Heavenly Father, I pray for a revelation. You are a loving Father. Jesus, you said you are the way to the Father. Lord, I pray this morning just for a revelation of your Father's love, your Father's heart for us. You're a good Father. You're looking for us to turn to you. You're looking to have us walk in your ways. Open our eyes this morning. Holy Spirit, cause us to say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.